Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, which is a new chapter. So, text number 1.
Sutta Uvacha. Evam Nisamya Bhagavan Devarsher Janma Karma Cha Bhuya Prapacha Tam Brahman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Sutta Uvacha Evam Nisamyam Bhagavan Devarshir Janma Karma Cha Bhuya Prapaccha Tam Brahman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Sutta Uvacha Evam Nisamyam Bhagavan Devarsher Janma Karma Cha Bhuya Papacha Tam Brahman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Sutta Uvacha Evam Nisamyam Bhagavan Devarsher Janma Karma Cha Bhuya prapacha tam brahman Vyasa satyavati sutaha Tuvacha Vamsanyam bhagavan Devarshya janma karma cha Bhuya prapacha brahman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Sutta Uvacha Evam Nishamyam Bhagavan Devasya Janma Karmacha Bhuya Prapacha Tam Brahman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Prapacha Dhammaman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Sutta Uvacha Evam Nisanyam Bhagavan Devarsir Janma Karma Cha Bhuya Prapacha Dhammama Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Sutta Uvacha Evam Nisamyam Bhagavan Janma Karma Cha Bhuya Prapacha Tam Brahman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Uvacha Evam Nisamyam Bhagavan Devarshya Janma Karma Cha Bhuya Prapacha Tam Brahman Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha Matajis Sutta Uvacha Devarshya Janma Karma Cha Bhuya Prapacha Tam Brahman
Sutta Uvacha
Bhagavata. Devasya Janma Karmacha. Bhuya Paprachautam Brahman. Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha. Suta Uvacha. Evam Nisamyam Bhagavan. Devasya Janma Karmacha. Bhuya Paprachautam Brahman. Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha. Suta Uvacha. Evam Nishamyam Bhagavan. Devashya Janma Karmacha. Bhuya Papacha Tandama. Vyasa Satyavati Sutaha. Suta Uvacha. Suta said. Evam, thus, Nishamya, hearing, Bhagavan, the powerful incarnation of God, Devarshe, of the great sage among the gods, of the great sage among the gods, Janma, birth, Karma, work, Cha, and Bhuya, again, Papracha, asked, Tam, him, Brahman, O Brahmanas, Vyasa, Vyasadev, Satyavati Sutaha, the son of Satyavati. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sutta said, O Brahmanas, thus hearing all about Sri Narada's birth and activities, Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God and son of Satyavati, inquired as follows. Please repeat. Sutta said, O Brahmanas, thus hearing all about Sri Narada's birth and activities, Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God, and the son of Satyavati, inquired as follows. Purport. Vyasadeva was further inquisitive to know about the perfection of Naradaji, and therefore he wanted to know about him more and more. In this chapter, Naradaji will describe how he was able to have a brief audience with the Lord while he was absorbed in the transcendental thought of separation from the Lord, and when it was very painful for him. So I thought I'd read verse text 2. It's also a small purport, so I'll read that text. Vyasa uvacha bi bhikshubir upravasite vignana deshtribhistava vartamano vyasya yadye tatakim akarod bhavan. Translation. Sri Vyasadeva said, what did you, Narada, do after the departure of the great sages who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge before the beginning of your present birth? Purport. Vyasadeva himself was a disciple of Naradaji, and therefore it was natural to be anxious to hear what Narada did after initiation from the spiritual masters. He wanted to follow in Narada's footsteps in order to attain to the same perfect stage of life. This desire to inquire from the spiritual master is an essential factor to the progressive path. This process is technically known as Saddharma Prichaha. Om Agyana Tmirandasya Agyananjana Shalaka Chakshuram Dintam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandasya Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Pancha Kalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sinvivita Paritanam Pabhanebhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, beginning this new chapter here in the conversations that we're going to be hearing between Narada and Vyas, it's just a follow-up as to what Narada Muni was telling Srila Vyasadeva in the previous chapter. So I kind of wanted to go there a little bit, just to kind of give a synopsis about this particular chapter, this particular verse. I wanted just to read a couple of things here, just to kind of give us a memory jolt about what we read previously. As we all know that Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva, was very despondent after writing the different, like the Mahabharata and different Vedic literatures, scriptures, and he was dissatisfied. And in the instructions given by Narada to Vyasadeva, he explains to him his despondency. And he says that, here it says, your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work. The Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences, elaborately explained. Purport. The despondency of Vyasadeva was certainly not due to his lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student, he had fully inquired about the Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full explanation of the Vedas. And then next verse, translation, you have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? So next verse, Sri Vyasadeva said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge due to your being the offspring of one Brahma who is self-born without mundane father and mother. Purport. In the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying the body or the mind with the self. As such, all knowledge is disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind, and that is the root cause of all despondencies. This is not always detected. Even though one may be the greatest erudite scholar in materialistic knowledge, it is good, therefore, to approach a personality like Narada to solve the root cause of all despondencies. Why Narada should be approached is explained below. So, a little bit about that, of course, in this particular second verse. Vyasadeva wanted to know more about his spiritual master, so he approached him. And today, I'd like to just speak a little bit about the importance of surrendering or approaching the spiritual master. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's described, tadvidhi paripatena pariprasnena sevaya, that one should approach the spiritual master, one should inquire from him submissively and render service unto him, the spiritual master. So this is how one acquires this transcendental knowledge. Actually, transcendental knowledge is not difficult to acquire, but what's really necessary is the process, how we acquire this knowledge. This is what is very important. And I just want to speak a little bit about this process. You approach one who actually knows. That's the process. And as we see here, that's what Srila Vyasadeva did. He approached someone who knew the process. Like, Papa gives the example of if the dictating machine or computer is broken, you go to a technician, and that technician knows how to fix the dictating machine or the computer. So you go to one that knows that is the process. It's like you don't go to a ditch digger and asking, can you fix my computer for me? That's almost like absurd. So you go to that particular person. So that's part of this process. You must go to the right individual in order to acquire this knowledge, or the proper person. So this proper person is a person who has tadvijnana, knowledge, just like the technician has knowledge.
So we should go to that individual who has tatvigyan. This is not materialistic knowledge like a technician. Tatvigyan is transcendental knowledge, one who knows the science of bhakti yoga, how to get freed from this material world. So the process of bhakti yoga is transcendental to mechanical arrangements. Therefore, it's called tatvigyan. And the guru, the spiritual master, he's heavy. It says one definition of a guru is that he's very heavy. But what is he heavy with? He's heavy with tatvigyan. He's heavy with knowledge of how to get out of the material world. And that's the proper person to approach. It says that the spiritual master is Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta means that he's well aware, fixed in Brahman. He understands Parabrahman, and he also understands Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is that qualification of that particular individual. So, tadvigyan artam sagurum evabhigachit. In order for us to understand this science of Krishna consciousness, because it's a science. A lot of times, I think Srila Prabhupada mentioned several times that Krishna consciousness is just not a religion. It's actually a science. And that's very important for us to understand, because there's a technique. You go to that proper person, the technician, he has a technique. He knows the technique. He knows the functions of that computer inside and out. So he knows how it works, how it functions. And because he has that knowledge, he's able to get in to the intricacies of that computer and fix it. Similarly, we have to go to that individual to acquire this transcendental knowledge. Brahmanishta also means one that is fully absorbed in the service of the Lord. Technicians in the service of fixing computers. The spiritual master, the purity of the pure devotee of the Lord, he's a technician in how to solve the problems of this material world and our bodily attachments. So this is Brahmanishtam. He's very fixed in the service. Bhaktimam avijananti. By the service to Krishna, one develops his transcendental knowledge. And the spiritual master, he's fixed, Brahmanishta, in the service of the Lord. Not only that, but the spiritual master has also heard the Vedas, Shruti. The Vedas are known as Shruti. And the spiritual master has heard the Vedas, Shruti, heard the transcendental understanding of the Vedas. So these are two qualifications of a spiritual master. He has heard in disciplic succession. And number two, he's Brahmanishta. He's fixated in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we can see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he speaks about his spiritual master, how his spiritual master gave him instruction, how he followed that instruction. He made that instruction in his life and soul. And then from that, we also see that Prabhupada was fixated, fully absorbed, strong, steadfast in service of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So, this knowledge of the Absolute is easily understood, but only by the mercy of the spiritual master. We sing that every morning. Yasya Prashada Bhagava Prashado, Yasya Prashadam Nagati Katopi. We sing this every morning. By the mercy of the spiritual master, we get the mercy of Krishna. But once I heard Srila Prabhupada say this, I think I either read it or heard it, where Prabhupada said that what the spiritual master actually teaches his disciple is how to understand and respect or realize the mercy of Krishna. Krishna gives mercy to the living entity. And Prabhupada said that the spiritual master helps the disciple understand that mercy. So what is that mercy? This is what Krishna, the science of Krishna consciousness is about. How to understand that mercy of the Lord. And we do it scientifically. Everything that we do in this Krishna conscious movement is scientific. From the minute that you go to bed, that you rise in the morning, that you take bath, you take care of your bodily needs, you come to the temple, you do Mangalartik, you chant your rounds,
you go to Guru Puja, you know, you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class. These are all scientific. Now, what is that science? These are all service to Krishna. Why do we get up in the morning? To chant the holy name. So it's service to Krishna. It's one of the process, Shravanam Kirtanam. We get up early to serve Krishna by chanting his holy name. We go to Mangal Arati because we serve the deities, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Lord Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, and Gornitai, by chanting their glories. So we're serving the deities of the Lord. This is very scientific, so that our minds become fully absorbed in Krishna. And then we chant japa. Why do we chant japa? To remember Krishna. We beg for mercy, and we also beg for service to Krishna. That's why we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prabhupada said many times we chant begging for mercy for Krishna. That mercy is serving Krishna. That's what mercy is for us. And we understand that mercy by the mercy of the spiritual master. So it's very, very scientific. Just like in the material world, math is very scientific. It's science. So you say 2 plus 2 equals 4. Can anybody argue with that? Science means that it's the same everywhere. Not just in one place, but everywhere, everything. So you can go to India, you can go to Africa, you can go to Japan. Wherever you go, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Science, scientific. So if one day you get up and you decide, no, 2 plus 2 doesn't mean 4 anymore. It means 5. So if you go to the bank or you go somewhere, no. 2 plus 2 equals 5. And obviously they'll look at you and just well, what's the matter with you? You're speculating. No. I'm saying to you this was what it is. And they'll just look at you and they'll think that you're a little bit crazy. And they won't pay any attention to you. And so you'll not get the mercy of the bank or whoever you're looking mercy for. You don't get that mercy. So the same way Krishna consciousness is executed in the same way. We're always looking for the Lord to give us mercy. But how do we get his mercy? Yeah, by executing scientifically. Then we get the mercy of the Lord. And this is necessary. Otherwise, we're considered to be a speculator or a deviant. So many names are given. And this is our position in the material world. We're all like that. We all make so many excuses and so many reasons why we shouldn't surrender to Krishna. And sometimes some people manipulate very nicely why they shouldn't surrender to Krishna. And sometimes the argument is extremely powerful. There's so many reasons. Because the material world has unlimited reasons for us to not want to serve Krishna or not want to surrender to the spiritual master or his instruction. And we see Vyasadev, he had that problem. And it's being pointed out to him by his guru, Narada. And we read this verse where Prabhupada, or the verse says that, what was he? He was like a superhuman erudite scholar. He has supreme knowledge. But even though he had that kind of knowledge, still it wasn't enough in order to not feel despondent, unhappy, dissatisfied. So it's not that you just have knowledge, some book knowledge. That's not enough. There has to be this bhakti, devotion to Krishna. And it has to be service given to us by the spiritual master. That's what's so important. Not that we speculate. The spiritual master has given us so many instructions of how and what we should do in the Krishna consciousness movement. And those in itself are insurmountable. You know, just to be steady, just to make a commitment, I'll never miss Mangal Arati again. Just think about that. I will never miss it again for the rest of my life. You know, if you're my age, hey, no problem. Or Maharaj. We don't know how many years you got left, but you know, if you're 21, 22 years old, 25 years old, 30 years old, can you make that commitment? Never again will I make miss Mangalarti. Just see the commitment. Sometimes it's insurmountable. But this is why we need the mercy of the spiritual master. That's the whole purpose of mercy. In that particular stanza, Yasya Prasadam Bhagavat Prasadam, it says that if the spiritual master looks kindly upon you, and that's very important, if the guru, the spiritual master, sees us and looks upon us very kindly, by his divine grace, anything can be accomplished. Just like it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one, if one gets the mercy of this, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a blind man can see, a lame man can cross mountains. So mercy. This is what we're looking for. Mercy. Here, Srila Vyasadeva is begging for mercy from his spiritual master. Because he's done everything. He's written the Mahabharata. He's extremely an erudite scholar, expert on all levels of knowledge, but still he was despondent. So this is the position of all of us conditioned souls. We need to try to see how we can get the mercy of the spiritual master. On a daily basis, we have to think like this. So this Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Vijnanam is the science. The science of Bhagavat Tattva. So the science is extremely important. And I just want to say a little bit about that, only because we sometimes get caught up in different things and we forget about the importance of the little things in Krishna consciousness and how much they mean in terms of our making advancement. And we sometimes may think, well, let me skip this, let me get that. You can't do that. It's like if you're in a chemistry class and the teacher tells you, okay, do this experiment. Here's the instruction. This is how you're supposed to do it. If in the course of doing that chemistry project, you're thinking, well, gee whiz, you know, I'm just going to a little less of that or a little bit more of that. No, we've ruined the project. Speculating. We've ruined it. Just by that little speculation or lack of attention. So Krishna consciousness means really being attentive in all aspects of Krishna consciousness in order to achieve the goal. Why are we here? We should ask ourselves that question regularly. Why am I here in Krishna consciousness? What am I trying to achieve? Do we know what we're trying to achieve? Do we remember, you know, like in the material world, they're always saying you should make your goal. And you should look at that every day. Every day you should look at that goal that you want to accomplish. If you want to get $1 million, every day remind yourself, I want $1 million. Otherwise, they say you won't remember that goal. So what is our goal in Krishna consciousness? Is it to eat better, sleep better? What is the goal? And every day we should remind ourselves of that goal. And if we have that goal, then we should also understand how to get there. How are you going to get there? If you want to go back to Godhead, how are you going to get back to Godhead? What is it going to take to get back to Godhead? If I want to please the spiritual master, what is it going to take for me to please the guru? Or please the assembled devotees? What am I going to have to do? And these are the questions that we should be asking constantly. I heard a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and I probably said this several times, but I like to say it again because it's very applicable. Prabhupada, in this one lecture, he described there's five different processes of how one can make spiritual advancement and one can determine where one is in spiritual life. And he said the first thing is appreciation. Do we appreciate Krishna consciousness? Do we appreciate everything that we're doing here? So Prabhupada said this appreciation is the first step. We have to appreciate. If we appreciate, Prabhupada said the second step is sadhu sangha. We want to associate with those individuals and people that we appreciate. And if you appreciate devotees, that's sadhu sangha. Now, what does sadhu sangha mean? Well, we can do some mundane things, ask how are you? And when you get our age, like Maharaj and Sir and I caught myself,
We ask that regularly because you know, how are you? How are you faring? I think there was a, isn't there something where when Lord Krishna met Brahma, he said, how are you? He shook Lord Brahma's hand and asked Lord Brahma, how are you? How are you doing? And that doesn't necessarily mean just aches and pains, but it means, how are you Krishna consciously? How are you doing? How is your Krishna consciousness? Everything okay? So sadhu sangha means that. We're compassionate to each other. We ask, well, how are you? And then we try to help each other. Sadhu sangha is not asking, clean my house or I got this problem and this thing, that thing. Yeah, that's okay. Let's face it, we're all there. We all do that. But that's not real sadhu sangha. Real sadhu sangha is we help each other to develop a desire to serve Krishna. Bhajana kriya. That's the next one. Sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya. By sadhu sangha, we help each other want to do service for Krishna. Bhajana kriya. And that service is important because that service is what liberates us. One can become mukta sangha. What is mukta sangha means that you are not at all overcome by the external maya, free from that association. And we want to associate with mukta sanghas, those that are freed from the material association. And we know that means the modes of material nature. One has surpassed passion and ignorance, surpassed it, even goodness. Mukta sangha. That is the kind of association we want. If we can't find it here, then find it in the books. You don't think anybody here is mukta sangha? Okay, fine. You're not lost. Pick up Srila Prabhupada's books and associate with him. He's mukta sangha, freed from all the dualities of the material world. And that's the kind of individual we want to associate with. That's sadhu sangha. And from that, bhajana kriya. And this bhajana kriya is essential because Prabhupada said the next step, bhajana kriya, is anartha nivritti. That's the next step. We get rid of all these sinful desires within the heart, which we have millions of. And we add on every day. Every day we add on more and more and more some other speculative desire for enjoying sense gratification. And we see that the whole world is engrossed in this. This speculation. These anarthas. And from getting rid of these anarthas, one develops Shraddha, faith. Nishta, strong. Like a tree, big, huge tree up in the sequoias, if you go. Huge trees, huge. So thousands of years, just powerful like anything. So from these activities of appreciation, of sadhu sangha, of bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishta, firm faith, in the execution of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said further in that lecture that if you are having problems, if we're having problems, which we all do, none of us don't have, we all have problems. So Prabhupada said if one is finding difficulty in Krishna consciousness, then one should go back and see, do I have appreciation with devotees? Am I associating sadhu sangha? Am I associating nicely? Am I involved in bhajana kriya? Or do I just want to clean my house, but I won't clean the altar? Or I won't clean the temple room? I won't clean the deity kitchen, no way. I might clean my room, might clean my home, but no way. I am not going to clean the altar. Oh, we should see. What is our bhajana kriya? What is our service? Are we properly engaged? And if we're properly engaged, then we'll see that, okay, everything's fine there. I appreciate this movement. Everything's cool there. Sadhu Sangha, yeah. I think that's also very nice. I like the devotees. I like the association. Bhajana Kriya, well, maybe I could do a little bit more. Maybe I could pick it up a little bit. From a 2, maybe go to a 5. A 5, go to an 8. 8 go to a 10. Maybe I can pick it up somewhere in there.
And then we'll see what are anarthas. What do I, before I go to bed at night, what am I thinking? Am I thinking, well, gee whiz, I'd like to really come up to a 10 in my budget in Korea? Or am I thinking, man, I'm at 5, I'm going down to 2. Too much. Or maybe I can't handle Sauda Sangha. Devotees are too much for me. Can't deal with it. So we have to analyze where we stand in Krishna consciousness, how we relate. And then anarthas. Yeah, we think about those anarthas. They come up so quickly, and they're so difficult to get rid of. It's like weeds, you know. Weeds just grow everywhere. You can ask Nakama, they grow everywhere. When you don't even, you got your back turned, and boom, just a couple of weeds that grow up, finished. So this is how we analyze where we stand in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, the material world, everyone's being harassed by these things constantly. Because of the material world, everyone's trying to hold up the four pillars of material nature. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. You go out at 4:30 in the morning and these cars are on a breakneck speed going on Interstate 10. You can hear the howling all the way over here. Isn't it? They're going fast as they can get to work. But you ask, you stop one of them, well, where are you going? But I'm going to work. Well, what for? And then they'll tell you a whole list. Car payments, mortgage, insurance, kids, computers, blah, blah, blah. They'll give you a list this long. And this is what they say. This is civilization. It's amazing. Because you have an elephant living in Africa or India in the forest, right? They eat tons of food. Eating. And, you know, they're okay. They don't have to. It's not like an elephant is thinking about developing a strategy for a business. He's not thinking about a business. He's just moping around. Big old body eating. And he's not worried about eating. He just eats whatever is provided. He's become dependent upon the Supreme Lord to give him whatever he needs. You know, eating, sleeping. Sleeping, he sleep anywhere. He's not worried about sleeping. He just sleeps. If it's time to sleep, they go to sleep. It doesn't matter what it is. So eating, sleeping, that's cool. Defending, who's gonna fight with the elephant? I mean, are you going to go up to the elephant and try to fight him? He don't need a defending. And his sex life is all fixed up. He doesn't have to go to a 9-to-5. He doesn't have to do anything. If it's mating season, his sex life is finished. It's fixed up. Everything's there. It's cool. You take a look at the material world and how we're being harassed, even worse than the elephant, when it comes to eating, sleeping, and mating and defending. And we're human beings. We're more intelligent, so-called. This is not civilization. Prabhupada said that many times. This is not civilization. We're thinking the animals this and that. But how are we living any better? This is the point. You know, how are we better? And, you know, people, they're so engrossed in all these activities that they're miserable. They're suffering like anything. They're suffering. They don't understand the principle of prasanna manasa, peacefulness in the heart. They don't have any peace because they're struggling so hard. You can come to a city like L.A., and America, the richest city in the world, or whatever, practically. And, you know, so many other things. America's the greatest, the richest country in the world. But still, you can go to some parts of the cities and parts of the country, and there you'll see people that are living homeless. Nothing is fixed up for them. They don't know, they have nothing to eat. Nobody cares about a homeless person. They have no defense. No one defends a homeless person. They have nothing to eat, no defense, you know, mating. They have no fixed up sex life. Nothing's fixed up for them. Is it? So they're living worse than an elephant. Can you imagine? And just think about that. How this is life. And Papa said that they call this civilization? No. That's why it's so important to approach a Mukta Sangha. A person who is actually freed from all of these activities.
A person who has understood the real essence of life. A person who has seen what the real goal of human life is, and that's to go back home, back to Godhead. And Narada Muni was preaching like that, Srila Vyasadeva. And that's the purpose of a guru. That is the guru's qualification. Brahmanishta. They're firmly fixed in the service of the Lord. So we should surrender to our spiritual master, our guru, and become fixed in Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. Okay? I went over. Thank you very much. Dori Srila Prabhupada. Haribo.